Presentation. Max is going to talk about clinics and how they serve the population here in California, Mexican immigrants in particular. He's from the Salinas Valley Clinic, but he wasn't able to make it today. So what I was going to talk about and am going to talk about is immigrants and how they're going to fare in the universal health insurance proposals, because right now our country is facing a situation where, next year there is likely, if Obama's elected, certainly there's likely to be a lot of discussion about expanding health insurance. I'll be talking about universal health insurance at the national level. And so I think it's important to study where immigrants are going to come out in this discussion, because it's not necessarily going to be good. We can understand somewhat how the politics and policy of immigrants and universal health care works by looking at the 2007 Schwarzenegger proposal to expand health insurance here in California. It was a major deal in the state legislature last year to try to get universal health insurance in California. I happen to have been working on it as a lobbyist for AFSCME, one of the major unions, American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. So I had a fairly close look at what happened and what was going to happen with immigrants. I think it's important to note that the Schwarzenegger proposal is very much akin to the Massachusetts individual mandate, which was just enacted several years ago, also to Hillary Clinton's proposal, which if she becomes Secretary of Health or something like that, she could be expected to start pushing next year in Washington. So this is pretty much the mainstream of where health insurance expansion is going right now in the United States. An advantage of the Schwarzenegger proposal is we did negotiate on it for a year. So it's not just a bunch of notions. It includes a whole lot of detail about, you know, what we're going to do about a whole lot of groups, including immigrants. It was not a seat-of-the-pants sort of proposal, even though it was rejected after a year. It was a year of very intense discussion. And so I think that what happened with immigrants' coverage under the Schwarzenegger proposal is probably going to be a pretty good indicator of what's going to happen if we go to national health care and how we're going to treat immigrants in the United States. So the background politically to this is we have lots of liberals and people who want to have health care for all and, you know, talk about expanding coverage. But at least last year, we're very afraid of raising the issue of immigrants at any public level. This all had to be done in some sort of sub rosa way. We all knew we wanted immigrants to get coverage. We all thought it'd be great if they did, but nobody dared to say that publicly because the fear was that the right-wing opponents of health insurance reform in general would latch on to the anti-immigrant sentiment as ammunition to use against reform advocates. And so, the advocates soft-pedaled, I think it's safe to say, the issue of undocumented immigrants. I was in quite a few meetings where we discussed, well, how are we going to discuss immigrants and their rights in the system? And, you know, the answer was, well, let's do it very quietly. We don't want to rile anybody. So it was a strange sort of political dynamic where kind of all the policies affecting immigrants did so in secret rather than in any open way, even though, you know, this is a state with a million undocumented Mexicans, I believe, just to give you one group that is directly affected by anything we do here. But we were kind of told we can't talk about it in any public way. So this all happened more or less under the table. But fortunately, I was there, and I can tell you what happened. Now, the best news probably for immigrants, I don't understand real well the politics of Medi-Cal and healthy families and the policies themselves. As I understand it, healthy families requires less documentation. And so if you're from an undocumented family, it's, as I understand it, easier to qualify in healthy families than it is in Medi-Cal. As I understand it, Medi-Cal involves some very stringent federal regulations about the kinds of documents that have to be provided. And so for a family without papers, it's somewhat easier to get folks into healthy families. That's the California version of SCHIP, as opposed to Medi-Cal. So that was part of the policy background, as I understand it. What the governor proposed to do was to expand healthy families then, partly in recognition of this situation, but also to move some people out of Medi-Cal into healthy families, which may have alleviated some of the difficulties around documentation. However, Medi-Cal rules for coverage are considerably better than they are for healthy families in terms of the benefits that have to be provided and so forth. So there's a downside from going from Medi-Cal to healthy families. But if it covers more people, that's certainly a step in the right direction. And for the immigrant population, that was probably the best news of the proposal, was there wasn't going to be an aggressive effort to expand the number of people covered by healthy families. And that should, for the children in immigrant households at least, mean that there'll be additional people covered with health insurance. Now, the Schwarzenegger proposal, its big idea was to mandate that everybody buy health insurance. If you don't have health insurance, then you have to go buy it. And that's the law. That's what they've done in Massachusetts already. In Massachusetts, if you don't have health insurance, you're required to buy it. If you don't buy it, they will dock you on your income tax the following year. So for folks in Massachusetts that haven't had coverage in 2008, in 2009, when they file their tax returns, if they can't prove that they had coverage, they're going to be assessed by the state basically half the price of an insurance policy for the whole year, which is going to be a lot of money. And that was basically the guts of the Schwarzenegger proposal, was to have the same sort of thing called an individual mandate here in California. Employers would also be required to make contributions for the people that work for them. But not necessarily to buy coverage and not necessarily to cover everybody, but it would be a percent of payroll. So if an employer was like 5% of payroll, I think the numbers were sort of selling around 5% by the end of the discussion. So if an employer had $1 million payroll each month, then they would be expected to set aside $50,000 a month for health coverage for somebody. Not necessarily everybody, but at least spend $50,000 in some way paying for health care. So that's the employer mandate that was embodied in the Schwarzenegger proposal. It was considered a victory for immigrant advocates that there was no immigration status requirement as far as who the employer bought coverage for or what that coverage was. So that was actually one of the issues that some of the advocates for the immigrant community pointed to as success, that there was no immigration test. I don't think it ever came up that I recall that anybody ever demanded we do have that test, but in any event, we didn't have that test. Now, the big catch with the individual mandate is that the price of this is somewhere in the neighborhood of like $500 a month per individual. And the coverage that's purchased is actually very meager. There's high deductibles in the neighborhood of $5,000 to $10,000. So you would spend $5,000 or $6,000 a year of your own money to comply with the individual mandate, in exchange for which you'd get a policy that didn't cover the first $5,000 of your costs, which some people might think is not a very good deal, because $5,000 a year is a lot of money to spend for what for most people would be no coverage at all. But that was the guts of the proposal, and of course, advocates for low-income people argued strenuously, well, this isn't reasonable to expect, this is California, the cost of living is very high, housing's high, everything's high. How can you expect, low-income people to come up with another $5,000 a year for something that won't even pay their bills if they do, need to go to the doctor? So we talked a lot about some sort of minimum level of income that folks had to have to be required, and if you were below that minimum, then you would be exempt from the individual mandate. It seemed like the only reasonable thing to do. And there was quite a bit of argument over where that line would be drawn. We talked about 100% of poverty, 200% of poverty, 500% of poverty, 600% of poverty. Where should you draw that line that exempts people? The insurance industry argued very strenuously that the line should be drawn very low and that pretty much everybody should have to pay it. Advocates for low income and working people argued that that cutoff should be much higher. So after many months of back and forth, what came out of that discussion was drawing the line at 250% of poverty, and this is where it was settled towards the end of the discussion, to give you illustrations of what that means for a family, say a mother and two children. That would be an income of $44,000 a year. And so the basic idea was that anybody who, if it was say a mother with two children, that household's income was less than $44,000, then they'd be exempt from the mandate and they would not have to buy coverage. In California, the 250% of poverty number is very problematic because we have such a great range of cost of living across the state. In Los Angeles or San Diego, I don't know what it is in San Diego, but I looked up LA a lot, I looked up the Central Valley a lot, I looked up San Francisco a lot. In San Francisco or Silicon Valley, you would need probably more like $70,000 or $80,000 a year just to mother two children, just to make ends meet. With rent and with childcare and with all those kinds of expenses. So the 44,000, oops, I just went forward and I didn't want to. I wonder how you make this go backwards. The 44,000 is pretty low for what it would actually cost. And so this would say that if this household is making 45,000, they would then have to shell out enough money to buy insurance for three household members, which in my opinion, would have worked a very severe hardship on many households. But the important thing was, as we were doing these numbers, and we put out 250%, and we still had this sort of undocumented adults issue out there, like, well, what are we doing? Are we going to take care of them? Are we not going to take care of them? Are we going to make them buy the insurance? Are we not going to make them buy the insurance? What was represented to me and to other folks who were in the discussion is that this number would basically exclude most undocumented people. Most undocumented people would be expected to fall below 250% of poverty and would not therefore have to comply with the mandate and will also therefore not have health insurance. So it was basically designed to exclude undocumented people by drawing the line at this level. Now this plays into another situation, which is that where a lot of undocumented people get their coverage in California is through the safety net providers, through the public hospitals, the clinics that are associated with public hospitals. These are the places that are expected to treat undocumented people when they show up without a whole lot of hassle. And so this is sort of the safety net we imagine is there for many undocumented people in this state. The governor, in having to work out the costs of his proposal, the price tag was $10 billion. And so the governor had to come up with $10 billion because we're a state, we're not the federal government. We can't just, you know, have the federal government write checks for $10 billion. So the governor had to come up with $10 billion. And so two of the major sources of revenue that the governor developed to come up with the $10 billion to pay for this expansion that he wanted to do was to take a lot of state money that was currently funding county safety net institutions away from the counties and pour it back into the health insurance system. So specifically, the governor proposed to take $666 million over 5 years from the safety net care pool. This was money that was going to public hospitals, is going to public hospitals and public clinics. Take that money out. Also pull out $600 million of DSH money, that's disproportionate share hospital money, annually, and give it to the state. So the disproportionate share hospitals, that'd be like San Francisco General Hospital or, you know, your major urban hospitals that treat lots of poor people. The DSH money is supposed to help compensate them for the fact that they're treating so many people who don't have insurance. So the calculation here was that these institutions wouldn't need this money anymore. They wouldn't need to provide this care anymore because everybody's going to have insurance. So what do we need to give these institutions so much money for? The catch-22 is that, but wait a minute, we just decided that most immigrants aren't going to have regular coverage, and now we're going to defund, you know, a lot of the major institutions that were treating them. So it was never clear where these numbers come from, the 666 or the 600 million. I mean, who made up these numbers and why, and how did they know these were the right numbers? Well, frankly, I think a lot of these numbers were just sort of backed out of, okay, we need to come up with 10 billion. Let's just, you know, dock the counties for a billion or two or something like that, and we'll dock some other people, you know, a billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon, you know, we've got $10 billion. So it seemed to me that these big numbers taken away from the counties were monies that were sort of worked out backwards from how much money they needed. So we came up with a situation, basically from the point of view of immigrants, undocumented immigrants in particular, that we're going to be cutting funding to the institutions to provide them with care. We're not going to be including them under the mandate, basically. And so it would seem like if you put those two factors together, that immigrants could wind up with less health care under health care reform than they're currently getting now. The situation wasn't, you know, addressed too forcefully, but this was, I think, a major concern that we saw develop in California, and that we should keep our eye on as the discussion goes forward, as people try to make ends meet in these very expensive proposals. A lot of, you know, moving around of dollars gets done in such a way that actually could reduce services for some populations. This was certainly my concern as we were working on the final stages of the Schwarzenegger proposal. So what does this mean for the future? Well, we have a somewhat similar political environment. The 111th Congress will be the next one, the one that comes forward after the elections next week. We still have the issue of immigration being something that people don't want to talk about. Everybody's afraid of it. Obama and McCain have both done a marvelous job of not talking about immigration through this entire campaign, which is kind of amazing considering what a hot button issue it's supposed to be. We have two presidential candidates that won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. And so, you know, we don't really have much explicitly from either one of them on where they stand on these issues. We know we're going to be in a fiscally constrained environment, even though it's the federal government. In this particular case, even our federal government is not going to be able to just print money because of the whole, you know, Wall Street bailout and the credit crunch and the financial crises we're facing right now. If it was Obama, and it, you know, most likely will be, he's going to be somewhat of a pay-as-you-go guy anyway in terms of financing new programs. I mean, that would be his gut reaction even if we weren't $10 trillion in debt. But given that the federal government is going to be $10 trillion in debt and also no longer free to make its own policies, that is, and this is a whole other discussion, but the U.S. government is probably going to have to start making its fiscal policies in conjunction with the other major industrial powers of the world. We are going to have to check off with the U.K., France, Germany, and a few other countries like that before we make some major fiscal moves, because we are now all in the same boat having to meet with each other and decide if our policies are okay with each other. So we'll be fiscally constrained in a lot of ways. We're going to be a little bit more like an EU country now, being hammered to stay on the program with everybody else as we try to get out of this credit crunch. So the politics aren't all that different at the national level next year than they were at the California level last year. So what could this mean for health insurance reform in California or at the national level? It means that probably the easy place to go where Obama said he wants to go is to expand coverage to children. Very possibly through SCHIP, since it's a less expensive way of doing it than expanding Medicaid, or maybe even a package that has even less coverage than SCHIP. I don't know what that would be, but as they try to make ends meet at the federal level, they may decide that SCHIP for all children or something might be too expensive too. I don't know, but I think that's going to be one of the pressures that'll be on the designers of reform next year, is to do what they can to keep the price low. Now, I forgot to add on this slide, and I should have. I thought of this later. Now, Obama has been strenuously opposed to a mandate for adults throughout his campaign. He's been very clear. He opposed Clinton's proposal for a mandate, and I think that I've seen no indication from Obama's people at all that they're changing their mind on the individual mandate for adults. So I don't think that's going to happen. However, Obama is talking about an individual mandate for children. That has been integral to his proposal throughout. He is saying that every family is going to have to buy health insurance for their children, which then raises the same issues that we face in California. If you pass a federal law that says every family has to buy health insurance for their children, what do you do about the families who can't afford it? I guess probably where Obama will come out is they'll try and raise the poverty level for SCHIP or something like that, maybe to 400 or 500%, something like that, and then figure every household that's over 500% can just afford to buy their children health insurance. It's not clear that'll work. And then as the financial pressure comes down, then they might go from 500 to 400 or something like that, or 300 for all. There could well end up being a gap, an affordability gap between how high SCHIP's going to go and what people can afford. So we could end up with an affordability gap just like we did in California, where we ultimately made up that 250% of poverty rule to sort of make all those people that can't afford it go away. So it's not clear to me that the Obama folks, as things unfold, won't find themselves in a similar position of not really covering all documented people for several reasons, because they may waive some set of the population. There may be some documentation issues, with getting people into SCHIP or something like that. So there's, I think, still going to be a problem getting all undocumented, even children, under this umbrella. And then I think we may face a similar problem in terms of safety net funding possibly being sacrificed to make ends meet for the Obama proposal. So say he decides to spend $100 billion or something like that on health care for children. There'll be some pressure in the Democratic Congress to have some sort of pay-as-you-go arrangement where we somehow come up with the $100 billion somehow. And they could, again, look at clinic programs, things like that, and some, green eye shade genius, in some fiscal office in D.C. could say, well, they're not going to need, so many dollars in the clinics anymore. Let's just cut, we'll grab $10 billion or whatever and take it from them and, use it to balance the budget on the Obama proposal. So I think the same way that a somewhat careless crafting of this proposal could actually leave some immigrant populations coming up short or worse off than they are now is still something that I think immigrant advocates are going to have to watch very carefully if this proposal, and it probably will, unfolds in 2009. So that's my take on where immigrants are likely to come out in healthcare reform in the United States in the next year or so. So I'm done. Thank you. Sochi's done. So we can take questions, comments. We're both here for you. Okay, Gil.
A little unclear, even despite his public pronouncements, as to whether Obama is going to be as aggressive as he said he in the first year of the administration.
Right.
Okay. It's my feeling that a few of other people beginning to look at this issue, that Medicare is, it may very well be first on the agenda, with the rationale being, how can you do health care reform until you fix Medicare first? And that being said, I think there is an opportunity for state experimentation to be supported in the first 2 years of the Obama administration.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being going back and doing some relatively small things to fix SCHIP for the whole battle that we had in the last session. Number one, to take a look again at the whole issue about the health plan amendments and waivers of the Medicaid, which the Bush administration pretty much eliminated in the last 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Number three,
yeah,
a significant change in ERISA to allow a lot of experimentation without some of the limits that are set by ERISA. Mm-hmm. And probably three or four other things. Okay? I think what Obama is going to be committed to do, from what I'm hearing, is to do something, and to say he's doing something, but also understand the constraint of this $1 trillion issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the nine-foot gorilla as soon as he walks through the door.
Yeah.
And it'll be battled out in the transition teams that'll begin to meet shortly after the election.
Yeah. Well, I think, in terms of political bang for the buck, since it costs less to insure children than any other population, I mean, this was in Sacramento last year, this was something we kept looking at as, okay, we don't have $10 billion, really. Why don't we see how much money we really do have and see what we can buy with that? And the quick answer was always, well, if we can come up with $3 or $4 billion, we could insure every child in California. That wouldn't be a bad day's work. But at that time, Schwarzenegger and his allies were determined to do more, and so they kept passing on the, let's take half a loaf sort of approach. So I would think that would, that Obama would be facing the same sort of math. And if he wants to show something, by the 2010 elections, if he could declare every child in the United States covered, for $25 billion or something like that, he might take it. But I that's my guess.
The price tag for something like that,
right,
more within our possible.
Right, right.
I think also we have to bring to this discussion the fact that there might be an immigration reform. Maybe not in the first year, but maybe cannot. It's a una bomba de tiempo. It's a time bomb.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot just live
right.
without that forever. So sooner or later, there is a need of an immigration reform. And then you have to ask, okay, what's mm-hmm. going to happen with these people who is already here? Or those who are needed to come? Because you mm-hmm. have to remember that we are going to be facing retirement, massive retirement of baby boomers. So who's going to substitute this labor force that mm-hmm. is going to retire? Mm-hmm. And some of them might retire in our countries, means in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe yes. there, by national health insurance or whatever, might be a possibility sooner or later. So I think it's just an issue of time, and us who can play politics or advocates to move on those directions. I don't know, you know, if it's something that needs to be managed state by state or has to be pushed from the federal level. I tend to be more inclined today that needs to be work from government to government in Washington.
Right. Well, two comments there. One is Obama's talked a lot about expanding the federal employees' health benefits plan as sort of his model, the FEHBP. And if he was to go with an expansion of the FEHBP, one thought would be then states could qualify their individual state plans as plans within the FEHBP, and so that may allow for some state experimentation, under Obama. I don't know what the odds are in immigration reform. I mean, it seems like we were so close a couple of years ago.
Yes, and unfortunately, were the Democrats
right.
killed.
Right.
Republican, because it was a bipartisan.
Right.
McCain, Kennedy.
Right.
Both, you know, and was.
What is, let me comment on that. One of the things that's been below the radar screen this past year is that there's been several attempts by a group of moderate Democrats as well as moderate Republicans to do a small temporary workers bill related to agricultural employment.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I think Feinstein at the lead, okay, is talking about a program that might be a million, okay,
mm-hmm.
a million agricultural workers and their dependents
mm-hmm.
as a first step.
Mm-hmm.
So not to avoid the big issue of comprehensive reform, but to take a first modest step. And there's been provisions written, there's several attempts to do it in the past session, and a lot of us think that they may take another action.
Yeah.
Again, supported with a bunch of Republican employer money.
Yeah. Well, if the Democrats get 60 Senate seats in the presidency, who knows? Then they could, you know, maybe become aggressive on some of these issues and just
maybe.
Maybe.
I have a question. What is the role of private plans in terms of their responsibility in trying to ensure, for example, children? Because you're correct in saying children are cost less to insure in terms of the coverage at the end of it. For example, these local initiatives, they have these programs where they put up monies to ensure through the Healthy Kids program. But the money is really their money that eventually comes back to them. They're paying for services.
Right.
These children they'll use, it sits there in their
right, 'cause the state
account.
Right.
So, but if we look at these corporate plans, what do you see maybe their role in terms of crafting some kind of commitment to try to ensure children, for example, because I think that would be the real sell point. People are more interested and care more about children than they do adults.
Yeah.
And I think that you'll get more money bang for your dollar.
Well, I mean, we worked with HealthNet, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. Oh, no, Blue Cross wouldn't come to any meetings. Blue Shield, Kaiser, HealthNet at the Schwarzenegger deal. And, you know, they're very aggressive about trying to get in on that market. However, they wanted to market products that, you know, had very high deductibles and very minimal exposure for the private insurers. That seemed to be their agenda. So I know they'd want as big a piece of the action as they could get, but under what terms is the question. So
then how did the Department of Managed Healthcare, what is their role in trying to shift some kind of rethinking, retooling on part of their responsibility, including the Department of Insurance, saying,
yeah. I just saw the private insurers just telling the governor what to do, period. There was no interaction.
From the perception of health insurance that the Latino communities have, and that's a big statement because we are many Latinos,
right.
And it depends if you come from a more structured network or from countries like Mexico or other Latin American countries.
Sorry about the glare here.
But to be kind of not serious on this, I think Latinos will not seek health insurance for their children. It's not a natural way of seeking health care in our communities of origin. We go to the clinics, and that's what they are doing here.
Mm-hmm.
Because what are the main health problems of a child? You know, if you tell a family you have to spend $2,000,
right.
No way. For
yeah.
a flu
right.
or no,
right.
I go to the clinic or I go to
right.
the pharmacy.
Right.
Well, I'm gonna insure, you know.
Right.
And they
right.
are like things that they are eligible anyway. So I don't think children health insurance is gonna be a major attraction. But again, it's very
right now in California, the counties that have the children health initiatives have about 80,000 undocumented children enrolled in the health insurance program. And the estimate is there's still large numbers of uninsured undocumented children. And I've worked over 10 years in the community doing a lot of outreach to provide education and enroll families and their children in the different health insurance products. And I think it is a struggle sometimes to do the education piece because it is a different structure. But I think overall, most of the families really appreciate having the coverage, especially when they experience